key here is providing access. And I think our goal should be as an industry to work as hard as we can, to be collaborative, and to really support those individuals that currently do not have access to retirement savings programs.
This is 401k Specialist Editor-in-Chief Brian Anderson, and this is the 401k Specialist Podcast. For our guest today, we're happy to have a retirement plan advisor who's out there on the front lines, and Derek Fiorenza of Summit Group Retirement Planners in Exton, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia. Derek co-founded the registered investment advisory firm along with his father, Anthony Fiorenza, back in 2013, and Derek serves as the Vice President, COO, and Chief Commercial Officer of the company. Summit focuses on serving the qualified and non-qualified retirement plan markets, as well as supporting the wealth management needs of individuals. Summit has earned NAPA's top DC advisor team recognition several times, and Derek's been recognized multiple times as a top advisor under 40 by NAPA and holds a variety of professional designations and retirement industry member affiliations. Welcome to the 401k Specialist Podcast, Derek.
Thanks for having me today.
All right. First off, can you tell us a little bit more about Summit Group Retirement Planners and the type of businesses you typically work with?
Sure, Brian, I'd love to do that. So the nice thing about our organization, being a family business, father-son team, we've tended to build our business working with a lot of other small businesses, whether that be other family businesses or privately held businesses. And as we've kind of grown and expanded, that has also extended. Now we work with some companies that are supported by private equity, so on and so forth. But I would say the bread and butter and focus of our firm has historically been working with other privately held businesses. And really, I would say meeting the needs of the everyday working men and women of America.
All right. Now I would say that you wouldn't fall into the category of a typical retirement plan advisor because you have a little bit of a different philosophy, I think, in approaching your job than I think most plan advisors do. Can you tell us a little bit more about your relationship-based approach and how it all came about?
So the way I kind of view things, I look at things from a value standpoint. And I talk a lot to my clients, I call them our relationships, in terms of value alignment. Is this a good fit relationally? Because so many times, and I won't just say our business, I will just say in general, in the world of business or sales, things are transactional. And a lot of times, if something is transactional, whatever that might be, it tends to become impersonal. And we tend to forget that behind that transaction, that agreement, there are people, there are families, there are children, there are husbands and wives and spouses and grandparents, so on and so forth, and legacies. And something that we talk about as a team internally with our organization and with our clients, our partners, is focusing on that relationship. And what that means truly is, how can we support you? How can we serve you? And I always try to approach, my paradigm is this, approach every situation from a perspective of humility. That's the goal. And if you can always swallow your pride, swallow your ego, and focus on, it's not about me, it's about them, it's about us, it's about the relationship, you're always looking forward. And you're not getting caught in the weeds of the day-to-day trappings of, well, this account represents this or this account represents that. That's looking at it through that transactional lens. We try to pivot it and continue to focus on the relational lens. And then I would say that compassion, I'm going to use some other words here, empathy, love, communication, being able to articulate and connect, not just the mind, because in the world of financial planning and as retirement plan advisors, it's obviously very challenging to kind of work through all the different variations and permutations of plan design and understanding what the needs of an organization are, but connecting that brain and the heart to the client. So that's what we try to do. We strive to focus on serving the client's needs, understanding what their situation is, whether it's through employee education, sitting down one-on-one, setting up the budgets, reviewing the budgets, talking about behavioral finance, behavior patterns, how are you spending money? This is one-on-one with the employees. Understanding your fixed expenses versus your variable expenses. Personal development. I mean, that comes up in some of our conversations as well. What can you do to become the best version of yourself? What are your goals in life? Sometimes you'll sit down with an employee or a team member and they'll say they're trying to aspire, take the next level in their career, or personally, they're trying to take the next step and build a better financial future for their families, trying to meet them where they're at and understanding that in order to truly add value to every relationship, it's not going to be cookie cutter. It's going to be customization and that personal heartfelt support, that love, that service.
Excellent. Love hearing about that approach. Next up, Derek, I know you attended the recent Napa Fly-In Forum event in Washington, D.C. to meet with federal policymakers and advocate for the retirement industry, along with a lot of your peers. I know it's not the first time you've attended. Can you tell us about this year's fly-in and why you make it a priority to be there?
So every year, Napa puts on this tremendous event, and anybody that's in the industry obviously is aware of it. The Napa Summit, obviously, people are aware of, but to a lesser extent, the Fly-In Forum, I think, happens to be maybe the most educational event for the entire year. And that's for all the conferences, because it gives you an opportunity not just to connect, as you said, with potential policymakers or staff members of elected officials, but also other advisors. And the advisors that are there are, number one, focused on policy because it affects what we do day in and day out, our ability to support and service the hardworking men and women of this country. But also, it gives us an opportunity to learn. It gives us an opportunity to see the retirement plan industry through a different perspective, through a different lens, because a lot of times it's like any business. We're retirement plan advisors, we're running a business, we're thinking about the challenges of today. I have X amount of meetings today that are for prospects, X amount of meetings that are for client retention, and then I have to run reports, and later on doing QuickBooks, running the budget, so on and so forth. Whatever your thing might be that day, this forces you to get out of the office and really just reset and focus on what we're doing, and more importantly, why we're doing it. You know, our vision, what we believe as a firm, is that every American deserves to retire debt-free and with dignity. Well, right now, and this is a key theme in the summit, there are a lot of people that do not have that opportunity, or they're not on track for that opportunity. And I think being able to go to these fly-in forums each year that I've been able to go, been so fortunate to go, it continues to refocus us on what we're doing. And that is trying to provide access to the hardworking men and women of this country so that they don't have to work forever and they can enjoy their retirement years with their families.
I'd have to think a key topic during the fly-in was addressing the coverage gap, where not enough Americans, especially lower income workers, have access to workplace retirement plans. Was there a lot of talk about the coverage gap and what needs to be done to close it?
Well, that was certainly part of many of the agendas that we had when we were bifurcating and meeting with the elected officials. And I can also say that when we broke out and we're networking amongst fellow advisors, we were talking about that. And something that was coming up was, what are things that you're doing with your team to engage those startup retirement plans or to set up the simple IRA plans and just trying to figure out different ways, which it's very tactical, right? It's really interesting with these pooled employer plans. It's a much more strategic way to hopefully bring more organizations. And then obviously with these state-run plans that are becoming more and more prevalent, the key here is providing access. And I think our goal should be as an industry to work as hard as we can, to be collaborative, and to really support those individuals that currently do not have access to a retirement savings program, whether that's a state plan, a pooled employer plan, or setting up a plan for their organization. And under the SECURE Act, the new one, the 2.0, it's even more advantageous from a tax credit standpoint for businesses to consider setting up these retirement plans. So I think the key, And I say this for all the people that I work with in our industry, it's a great industry because even though there is some competitiveness, there's also a lot of mutual respect. I think retirement plan advisors truly do care. They care about people, and that's why they're in this industry. If we continue to keep that mindset of collaboration, I think what we can do is come together and really increase that access to more people. And studies do show the more access we can provide, the more people will be saving. And that really should be the goal of our industry, the goal of our job.
All right. Good stuff. Now I want to shift gears a little bit and beyond work on the philanthropy side of things, you also founded a nonprofit, Fiorenza's Food for Friends, to connect sources of food to recipients in need. And it's not just in your local community. So can you tell us what's the story behind it and how it fits into the puzzle?
Sure. That's close to my heart. So when I was in college at Villanova, I was 19. It was my sophomore year. I had volunteered at a Breakfast with Santa event for some kids. And I asked the caterer if they would be willing to donate some meals that I could then take to a shelter and serve with my family around the holidays. And they said yes. They were actually, at first, they were surprised that I followed up with them, but they said yes. And the idea then was born. And from there, each Christmas for the next 3 or 4 years, I expanded that. Went from 25 meals to 50 to 100. And then in 2010, we did over 1,500 donated meals around the holidays. And in 2011, I had the impetus that kind of hit me that I wanted to do something beyond just myself. I wanted to give back and serve. So when I finished my MBA, I set up the charity Fiorenzo's Food for Friends in May of 2011. And our organization that first year, I'll never forget it, Brian, I was driving in my Toyota Corolla up and down the East Coast, donating canned goods and repurposing and rescuing hot meals from restaurants and taking the shelters. I think I drove close to 30,000 pounds of food around that first year. And we grew from there. And now we serve each year. We work with NAPA at the summit and the various conferences in the industry to repurpose food and also to do food drives to benefit local food banks. Our organization, as you said at the outset, our goal is to basically connect the donors of food to recipients in need. So if you're a restaurant or you're a caterer and you have leftover food, we then help find shelters that could repurpose that food on a consistent basis and also safely. We also work with companies to do food drives that then benefit local food banks and food pantries. The nice thing about our model is, number one, we don't receive or apply for any government funding. And number two, we don't charge any program fees. So when we do a food drive with a company to benefit a food bank, or we do a food recovery operation with a restaurant and caterer for a homeless shelter, we're not charging the agency, we're not charging the donating organization, the food cupboard, the food pantry, the company. It's all completely free. Our connecting is basically, it's an unpaid broker service that we're providing to the market. So I really am passionate about that. We are coming up on 7 million pounds of food distributed since we started. And my goal in life, before I'm gone, I would like to have distributed through our organization 1 billion pounds of food. So long way to go, but we're continuing to kind of grow. And I always say, we talk about life, we talk about fulfillment. If you're giving and you're growing, giving, serving others, and then growing personally and professionally in your career, it usually leads to a pretty good outcome, and I think fulfilling one.
Excellent. Sounds like a really great program. Before we finish up here, I'd like to close by asking you about some of the issues that might be on your radar right now and for the rest of the year. Is there anything you're keeping a close eye on or anything keeping you up at night?
Well, I always want to do better. I always want to be able to serve personally my clients to the best of my ability. I always want to learn. But I would say industry-wise, something that I've really been paying close attention to over the past few years is consolidation. So consolidation of advisory firms and then also consolidation of record keepers. And I'm curious to kind of see how that trend continues and also how that affects the marketplace as a whole. And then additionally, we talked about it earlier, but what can we do to proactively communicate to businesses the importance of setting up retirement plans if they don't currently have them, teaching them the importance of it, educating them on the tax benefits. And then lastly, I would say, as an industry, we've talked so much about financial literacy and we talked about fiduciaries and expenses through the years. I think the next step as an industry is really going to be, as we've talked about for a long time, connecting that heart and not losing sight of the fact that it's going to take some elbow grease and some hard work and an empathetic, compassionate heart, listening to the needs of the employees of these organizations, figuring out how we can, as an industry, better serve them and support them to make this retirement program not just checking the box we offer a plan at our company, but a transformative benefit. It's a vision forward so that we can, as an organization, improve the quality of the lives of our employees, both now and into the future. I think those are the key things I'm kind of keeping an eye on in the future.
All right. You've given us lots to think about. Derek Fiorenza of Summit Group Retirement Planners, thanks for joining us today and sharing your insights on the 401k Specialist Podcast.